Agenda item number one, discussion and possible action on fiscal year 2012, comprehensive annual financial report. Well, I interrupt, Mr. Chairman, let me introduce Nan Hewitt, the mayor pro temp of Granbury, the acting mayor of Granbury, in absence of our mayor, who had a stroke, so, a friend of the Bryce River Authority.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this is our annual report to you all that we do in January, following the closing of our books for our fiscal year, which of course is August 31, and then following the audit efforts of our external auditor, Paget Strademan, who will provide a report here in just a second. I'm just going to go through a couple of highlights of it and certainly answer any questions that you all have in any detail. You received in your material the draft of the CAFR. Next slide. I'll just talk about the purpose, the highlights, and then Michael Bryan will do the report of the independent audit. Next slide. The purpose, we've talked about this before, obviously our annual financial report is to fairly state our financial operations in accordance with GAAP, following GASB, Government Accounting Standards Board, and also to demonstrate compliance with the federal government and state government on any of our federal or state grant programs, which we do have a few of that we get primarily for environmental reasons and stuff. And we did have a single audit report this year, and Mike will talk about that. There's no problems at all with it, but we had a report that met the threshold this year. Last year we did not. But next slide. The CAFR, the main difference, and again I've talked about this before, is the annual financial report, of course, is completed in accordance with GAAP on an accrual basis, accrual accounting basis. The budget, the annual operating plan that you all approve in July and that we review each quarter is really primarily on a cash basis. And so there are obviously are some differences there, and I'll explain those in a second as to how some of the numeric differences. But they have two different purposes, really. Obviously, the annual operating plan is really more from a management standpoint, and obviously the cash activities are very relevant and important. And the CAFR is takes into account a lot of other activity that goes, a lot of which is non-cash related and stuff, but nevertheless needs to be reported that way. Next slide. As you all saw in the materials, it's broken down in three sections. This is in following a GFOA, the Government Finance Officers Association. They established really the format and the standards that we follow. We have been following those well before I was here. It was the 26th year that we received the award, a certificate of excellence from the GFOA, as a lot of public entities apply for also. And so we follow that approach that they have, which we believe really provides a very comprehensive report that provides a lot of information, hopefully, for any of those who are reading it. Introductory section, you see, then there's a financial section, and there's some statistical information in the back, most of which is unaudited, but nevertheless, I would contend certainly it's very accurate. Next slide. This is where I was talking about the difference between the budget and the CAFR, and this I do this each year to sort of help, because I know for instance, our last meeting in October where I did the fourth quarter budget review, if you'll look at the first column, that was the budget you all adopted in July from an operating revenues and expense standpoint. You basically adopted a budget that demonstrated about a $1.5 million surplus is what was budgeted. What we actually reported to you in October at the end of the year on a budget basis was that we actually made about $9.7 million. And you can see that the majority of that was really on the expense savings side, although we did have some interruptible water sales. And even though revenues were down a little bit from what was budgeted, some of that was because the Swats plant we divested, as you remember, we divested the Swats plant back to the participants in the middle of the year. So we lost some of that revenue, but we made up some of it with interruptible water sales. But expenses came in significantly under what we budgeted for, creating a much larger surplus that we talked about back in October. Now, on the CAFR side, what you see, it's certainly been unusual in the last few years. We've had this big of a swing. Usually it's not that big of a swing, but I'll explain. There's been two or three events this year that have driven that. But as opposed to going from a cash basis of nearly a $9.7 million surplus to a $5.7 million deficit on a CAFR basis or an accrual basis. And you can see in the middle column is where I really detail the things that make up, that reconcile that difference. And it's really primarily in two, or I can usually see three items. The first item, and this item occurs every year to different degree, but on a cash basis, we book all of our debt service, principal and interest payments, as just obviously our principal payments of cash or cash paid. So they're actually in the budget coming out, but obviously on an accrual basis, we book depreciation, and principal doesn't become an expense. It's no longer an expense on a GAAP basis, but depreciation is. And so depreciation has always been greater than the principal payment. And so in this particular case, it was $2.7 million more depreciation than the principal payment. We back the principal out and put the depreciation in. So that's what that negative 2.7. So that brings down your budget side, $2.7 million. Deferred revenue, we do have some revenue we've already received the revenue, but it's not been booked, and it gets actually booked on a cash basis over the course of several years, and things have already received it, but we can't recognize it. But we do recognize it over a period of time. Capitalized interest, again, in some cases on some of our capital projects, we're allowed to capitalize interest and things, and so that's whereas all the interest would be in the budget that we paid out, we can actually recover some of that, so that's a pickup. And then capitalized expenditures, in some cases on the budget, we have some, in our annual budget, we have some expenditures, equipment and the like, and facilities and vehicles and things like that we have in our budget, but they're capital expenditures. So when we capitalize them, they effectively come out of the budget, and they're an add. Now, the two last items, which are really where the two largest things are, again, and I know y'all are familiar with this, we transferred the Swatch facility in the middle of the year. Two things really happened in that transfer. Number one, there was a $6 million transfer payment that was made with that facility. It was not, even though we recognized it in the budget, we recognized it below the line, it's not part of the 9.6. So if you'd recognize that $6 million in the budget, it would really only been a $3.6 million surplus, but it was recognized below the line. But obviously from a capital standpoint, that figures into the calculation of gain or loss on a transfer of an asset. And so about half of $11.7 million, about half of that was the transfer payment. The other half of that loss on the transfer of that asset was really the asset, writing the asset off and then writing the debt off. The asset actually had it. The net book value of the asset was actually greater than the debt when we were carrying the debt on the book. So when we did that, it was about nearly a $6 million difference between the asset value and when we wrote both of them off, that created the remainder of that loss. So it was really a book loss. It wasn't a cash loss on that other half of it. So that's where the $11.7 million comes from. And then the last item, under GASB 49, we are required to actually report the remediation, the cost of the estimated cost, because at this particular time we were estimating it, the estimated cost of remediating the building. And now that does not count the rebuilding of the building. That's really just removing the remediated portion of the problem of the building. And so that was estimated by architects and engineers and construction folks and stuff at that time to be $2.4 million. We had to book that as an expense in fiscal 12. And so that's what that is. Clearly that wasn't in the budget or was not recognized as of when we closed the budget back in October. It was not recognized, but it was later when we did our financials, our year-end financials. So that also is, and that will be paid, but none of that was paid out, of course, as of the end of 8/31. It will be paid out in fiscal 13, but it was approved, $2.4 million was approved as an expense in fiscal 12. And that obviously represents part of the whole remediation and a rebuilding project. So anyway, that's how you get from what is a $9.7 million surplus to a $5.7 million loss on a GAAP basis. So it really doesn't have any cash impact, but it does have an accounting impact. I'll be happy. I know that's a pretty dramatic difference, but that's just this year with the Swatch thing and the remediation, that's what is driven most of it. I'll be happy to answer any questions if anybody has anything about that resolution. Otherwise, next item, and this is just simply a, I do this each year just to show you the sort of the trend of the last 3 years on some of the major items. You see operating revenues. 2011 revenues were up somewhat. Again, interrupted. We had a significant number of interruptible water sales in 2011. Again, 2012 would have been higher than it was again, except that the Swatch facility, we transferred it, so we didn't have some of the revenue for the last half of the year, or it would have been up higher than it was. You can see operating expenses are fairly consistent. Interest expense, you can see interest expense went down in 12, again, consistent with what we expected. We sold off, as you all remember, you authorized the retirement of a lot of our debt, where we paid off a significant amount of our debt in fiscal 12, and obviously that brought our interest expense down. Interest income, you can see, remains fairly flat is what it is. Our investment rates are very low, as you'll hear in a little bit. And you can see that the non-operating items, that line, it's obviously where there's a big variation. Obviously, in 2010, not much there. 2011, that was the sale of the PK. That was the PK divestiture sale. That's why it's $49 million. There's some other things in there, too. But the $50 million proceeds from the PK divestiture drove that. And then this year, again, was driven primarily by those two items that I talked about, the Swatch transfer and the remediation. Driven the ones this year. So you can see how that's so pretty good variation on our net income and loss. Working capital went down. Obviously, it spiked up when we had the PK monies. Then we used that to pay down our debt. And so it's come back down. And then our total net assets, you can see, went up and came down some, but not as much because of the fact that we had a very profitable year from a cash standpoint and brought in some money there from that standpoint. So, any questions? Okay, I will introduce Michael Bryan, and Mike's got his part of the presentation about the audit standpoint.
Good morning, I'm Michael Bryan with Padgett Stratton. As John mentioned, we were engaged to do the audit this year. We've completed that audit and are here to give you a report. The scope of the audit, as I think John mentioned, is the financial statements, which you've got a copy of, the comprehensive annual financial report. When we do that sort of audit, we're looking to see whether or not all the required disclosures required by Governmental Accounting Standards Board are present. We're not auditing management performance on operations, or that sort of thing. We're focused on the financial statements. We do review internal controls related to the major cycles in the financial statements. We don't report directly on those. The standards do require us to inform you if there's any what we call material weaknesses. Those are the things you don't want to hear about that could cause potentially a material misstatement in the financial statements. And we don't have any items of that nature to report. The opinion on the financial statements will be an unqualified or clean opinion that says that the financial statements are fairly presented in conformity with generally accepted accounting principles. On the next page, since the authority does receive some federal and state funding, there are requirements for audits on those from a federal standpoint. OMB Circular A133 has all the requirements on when you have to audit any of those grant programs. The cutoff on that is $500,000 in any 1 year of expenditures. You didn't meet the threshold this year, so there was no audit required. On the state compliance, they've got the state single audit circular, which is very similar to Circular A133. The Clean Rivers program met that threshold this year, just over the $500,000. So we did the required procedures there, didn't have any findings or question costs to report. On the next slide, there are certain things that auditors need to communicate to you as a board with oversight. John mentioned a few accounting policies and things of that nature. This year there weren't any new accounting policies required to be adopted. So from year to year, we're going on a consistent basis. there's no, we don't have any concerns about any of the accounting policies that the authority follows. They're all standard, no concerns in that area. I put the bottom bullet on there just to let you know that's all going to change in the next couple of years. The Governmental Accounting Standards Board has issued a number of new accounting standards, one of the most significant ones dealing with pension accounting, which in 2015 is going to have to become on the balance sheet. Is whatever unfunded liability you have has to come on the balance sheet, and that's true for all governmental entities. We've seen it go from one of those statistical data disclosures in the very back. We've had it in the footnotes for a couple of years, and now it goes on the balance sheet. It really gets offset as an asset and liability. It doesn't run too much through the income statement. But I just want to let you know when you see those changes that you're aware of what's going on. The financial statements do require or include some estimates. There's nothing wrong with having estimates in financial statements. I don't point these out to give you any indication that there's any problems or issues, just to let you know that not everything is just a check coming out or a bank deposit coming in. There are estimates. These are the ones I have listed here are the same as they've been, except for the central office remediation that John mentioned, the accrued liability there for the remediation portion of the mold. And there's a detailed footnote disclosure. If you have questions on things like investments, debt, revenue recognition, there's footnotes that'll put you to sleep if you try to read them all, but there's a wealth of information there. From an audit process standpoint, all will say none, which means we didn't have any issues. Smooth process. We received full and complete cooperation during the course of the audit, as we always have. No disputes or disagreements over any accounting or auditing matters. On the next slide, John gave you information about the comprehensive annual financial report. That document, as he mentioned, has a great deal of information. Not all of it is the financial statements. We audit the financial statement portion. We do review the other information. We read through it, make sure that there's nothing there that is inconsistent with our understanding. It's not covered by the auditor's opinion. And we don't have any issues or concerns about any of the other information contained in the document. And finally, just to let you know about what the audit team was, pretty consistent with last year, and that completes my report. If you have to answer any questions anyone might have.
I might add, as I do each year, recognize specifically the efforts of Matt Wheelis, Melissa Anthony, and others in the letter in the comprehensive annual financial report. The last paragraph really indicates all the folks that were involved from a staff standpoint in putting together the annual report. But it's really a significant effort, and they did a great job. And I think you can tell from the report of our auditors that everything was. In good condition. The last thing is a resolution. There's a resolution here. We are required to submit our report to the Texas TCEQ, Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, and we also submitted the Texas State Board. The Texas Water Development Board, and then some state auditor's office in Austin, and some other things. So there's several places that this report gets, but this is one that's actually required under our statute to submit. So I included in a resolution, and we'll read the resolution if anybody has any questions about it, y'all's consideration. Okay. Be it resolved that the Board of Directors hereby accepts the Brazos River Authority's comprehensive annual financial report for fiscal year 2012 and approves its filing with the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. The Chief Financial Officer is hereby designated to file the report and the annual filing of the affidavit with the Executive Director of the Texas Commission on Environmental.
I'm going to read the resolution. Is there any questions? If not, entertain a motion to approve some of the second please hold the voice.
Christian.
Presiding Officer Scott?
Yes.
Director Kilgore?
Yes.
Director Adams?
Yes.
Director Ball?
Yes.
Director Barr?
Yes.
Director Bell?
Yes.
Director Belt?
Yes.
Director Bennis?
Yes.
Director Borland?
Yes.
Director Beshears?
Yes.
Director Christensen?
Yes.
Director Christian?
Yes.
Director Creel?
Yes.
Director Johnson?
Yes.
Director Masterson?
Yes.
Director Munson?
Yes.
Director Rankin?
Yes.
Director Talis?
Yes.
Director Zaccanino?
Yes.